Even those who bent their knees may yearn in their hearts for the return of the dragons. Welcome to the White Oak Podcast, the original A Game of Thrones LCG podcast. Founded in 2010 as Two Chimps and a Chump, we thought it best to rename and rebrand ourselves freshly just in time for the game to keep the same in the second edition. Tune in each week for your dose of strategy, discussion, jokes, and good old geek culture. A huge thank you goes out to GRRM for his amazing novels, FFG for this fantastic game, Card Game DB for getting us a start, and you, our loyal listeners, for sticking through thick and thin. Check us out on our website, Facebook, or Twitter, or email us at contact@whitebookpodcast.com and rate us on iTunes. This CC licensed music is Town Function by Spinners.
Felt about hearing your voice.
That's what I was really hoping for. You know, I'm like Aegon the Conqueror, come again.
I feel like you're more like Egg, but it's fine.
You know, I liked Egg. That's fine. At some point, I'm gonna probably have to shave my head anyway, so we'll have that in common.
You'd be kind of sexy with a shaved head.
Maybe
if I get a bit more buff.
Is a secret Targaryen, because everyone's a secret Targaryen.
Hey, some of them are probably secret Blackfyres.
Spoilers much? Book 5?
At this point, does anyone care about spoilers from the books? What matters is spoilers from the show. And we don't know anything that's happening in the show. Unless you want, because I follow the online set report stuff, because I can spoil a bunch of stuff.
Because I live a spoiler-free existence. I'm Roy Rogers.
Spoiler open.
Spoiler open existence, right.
Spoilerific?
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Spoilerific.
So.
Yeah, spoiler.
I miss spoilers. God.
Yeah. I wish we had spoilers.
Yeah. But wouldn't
I wish
be
we
a regular
had
Aegon
cards.
Spoilers?
We're still more regular than the other three major podcasts.
That's
the last
that's
time
true.
Any of them released an episode? It's
true. Banter released one like a couple weeks ago, yeah.
Oh, okay. And they were going to do another
while
one
while we
today,
were gone?
Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Let's see. Beyond the Wall did those two back-to-back.
Wait.
Featured the most awkward conversation about shipping that I have ever heard in my life. And I love John and Sean.
I totally ship Brienne and Jaime.
I do as well. But, let's see. And then, what? Banter hasn't done an episode in a while.
They did. They're recording literally today.
Well, yeah, but that's the same time as the
episode. It's not out.
So the episode will be out at the same time.
Yeah, but they don't actually edit, so they'll post it tomorrow.
That's true.
Beards put out an episode.
That's true.
Beards has put out several.
A couple, yeah. So, yeah. Beards.
I mean,
is the most
since our last one?
Guys, can I admit something? I've never listened to an episode of Beards.
And there was the last listener who liked Aaron Glazer.
I tried, and I was like, God, they're still talking about beards, and I turned it off, and I never went back. I got the joke. It was
that's
cool.
That's what
I felt good.
That's what pulled me right in. Like, the beard just kind of reached out and wrapped me up in its warm and furry embrace.
Time out. Actually, I did listen to the Keb episode, because Keb, but besides him, fuck that show.
Well, I mean, I'm kind of on the side of Will here. I just felt so welcomed into the bristly goodness.
Yeah.
Actually, I like them all as people. That's not true. Buzz is the worst. But I like most of them as people.
Welcome back, Aaron Glazer, as well.
Yeah. You know what? I think that is a great moment for us to quit advertising every other podcast other than ourselves
and tell the listeners, welcome to episode 291 of The White Book. I'm sorry for the delay. Life's been insane. We'll talk about that in props and slops, but only briefly. I'm Will, my co-host this week. You may have noticed Aaron Glazer. Also, Roy Rogers.
Hello.
And Luke Wortley.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to try and be really loving this week. It lasted 7 seconds.
You know,
that's actually a record, I think.
You were super snuggly, like, off air.
I'm really happy to be back. I took off work early to do this. I'm really happy to be back.
Yeah, it is good to be back. I miss doing my book episodes. So.
Me too.
Agreed. I'm ready to get back into a normal routine here, so... Hey guys, Will here at The White Book, just taking a quick moment to remind you all about the Evergreen Tabletop Expo 2017, which, you may know, is hosting the Game of Thrones and Android Netrunner Nationals this year. So this is the third year for ETX, and it is scheduled for June 3rd and 4th, along with a free game night on Friday the 2nd that has no badge requirements. So this is going to be downtown Seattle this year, under the shadow, so to speak, of the Space Needle. And there's going to be side events during the weekend, including a Thrones team event that sounds cool on Friday night, and a draft, favorite formats, on Sunday. It's also going to be the first opportunity to play games like Rune Wars miniature game in an actual tournament setting. And there's going to be several Star Wars Destiny tournaments also. Many of your favorite publishers and designers are going to be in attendance showing off their latest games. It's also the host of the Lucy Indie Game Design Award, which, by the way, the submission window is still open. Finalists are going to be judged on a live show by professional game designers like James Ernst, Paul Peterson, and Mike Elliott. So weekend badges are $50 for the whole weekend and include entry into the Nationals tournaments. So it's going to be a good time. If you can't attend, be sure to check out the live streams during the weekend that they're going to have, I believe, through Twitch. So there you have it.
Ditto.
Well, with that said, should we go ahead and kick things over into the regular topic?
Yeah. What's the name of the chapter pack?
All right. We're going to do a chapter pack review. This is Guarding the Realm. Yes, listeners, I know it'll have been out for like 3 weeks by the time you listen to this. But whatever. We got to ease ourselves back in somehow.
Yeah, but now we've at least actually played with all these cards.
I was going to say, like, this is sort of retroactive as well.
It's a kind of like actual practical review. I've held this piece of cardboard in my hand. I've watched a tournament play out with these cards being legal. Mm-hmm. Several tournaments now at this point, right? Some big ones, too, in both Europe and in the U.S. So we actually have data.
Roy's birthday tournament.
It's true.
Happy birthday, Roy.
Thank you.
Name day tournament?
It was sort of. It was Storming of Starpike, and it was a really good time. So Aaron, despite his best efforts, both defeated me on stream and finished with a positive record. So
I really wanted to drop. I was like, Roy, but please. Someone was like, you can just scoop to me. I was like, if Roy says yes, I will totally scoop to you.
Then I said no.
And then I won.
Aww.
That's true.
Hey, man, I really like that guy. Who's the guy who went out to karaoke with us? We need to shout him out like that.
Joe Card?
Yes, I love Joe Card. But no, I know Joe Card already.
Todd?
Hey, yeah, Todd, you're a good dude. Thanks for coming out with us.
Okay, but we'll save some of that for props and slops.
Yeah, I was going to say, this sounds an awful lot like props and slops.
I wanted him at the beginning, because like two people listen to props and slops, and they're both on the podcast.
I think Wama listens sometimes.
Wama definitely listens to everything Thrones related. I don't know what he does besides Thrones.
He's getting married this summer. He's doing all kinds of shit.
Oh, nice.
Oh, it's he and Cab are finally getting married this summer. I didn't know that. That's
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, man.
Did we not know that either.
But that's also props and slops content. We're just encouraging Wama, who, as a math person, always reads to the end of the fine print. But so we should probably focus on the pack.
Is that why
we should
is at the end of the chapter pack? I'm going to read the star cards now.
Hold on.
Oh, here's how we score them.
Yes. Yeah. I think we need to tell the listeners that
we're gonna
go through the normal motions. Normal. So
I forget. It's been
we're
so
gonna.
Long.
I know it has. I'm so sorry. So we're gonna lump the houses together instead of the individual cards. We're still gonna read them all, and we're gonna rate the houses on the American grading scale, A through F, still no letter E, despite my petition to get it added. I keep getting turned down. So
I'm going to rate a card E this pack. Can we make E a rating and E will be just Shagarific? Or, no, Melisandre-ific? Did we decide that was Melisandre?
Right? I still prefer Shaga myself. But
whatever. Shagasandre-ific?
That or you know, since it's come to mean kind of more combo-y stuff, it should maybe be Qyburn or Qyburn, depending on how you want to word it, you know, concocting.
It's gotta be. So that is rating E.
Okay, there we go.
Cool.
Well,
there is nothing that gets an E in this chapter. Oh, there's one whole house that gets an E. Bear Island Host card. Is the first bad star card. It is a House Stark non-loyal, 4/4, military power, army and House Mormont. It's got bestow 3 and no attachments. Action, discard 1 gold from Bear Island Host to choose a House Mormont character. Till the end of the phase, that character does not kneel when declared as an attacker in a military challenge. I just want to say something before I read the next card. Would it have killed them to say as an attacker or a defender? Because, like, whatever. Marriage Pact. House Stark loyal attachment costs 3 condition terminal. Attached character cannot participate in challenges against you. Forced interrupt. When attached character leaves play, sack a character you control. You really shouldn't run Marriage Pact if you're running Valor in your deck. You get that one save Valor and they're like, well, I'll just kill this guy. And then you have a problem.
Aaron.
Since when was Stark running?
It's really good you brought that up because.
What?
When was Stark running? But this is actually not horrible on a Valor turn because of the way timing works. So the character you end up choosing to sacrifice doesn't end up in the dead pile. So you can choose a character, say a unique character that would have died to Valor and instead sacrifice them.
That's kind of cool.
Sure, it's.
It's a cool interaction,
yeah,
I think.
Definitely obnoxious.
And same with Wildfire.
If you were going
to
say.
I mean, obviously, but I'm just saying, like, there are ways to play around Valor with this card play around Valor with this card. And it can have more. I actually think when it comes to resets, that drawback is not particularly horrible. It's sort of, in other situations, it can become more frustrating.
Hey, I have another thought. How much does Graven cost?
One.
Oh. One. How much does the Greyjoy version of this cost? One plus
two.
The Greyjoy one? No, it doesn't.
Greyjoy is one.
Yes, definitely. So one plus one is definitely three with another drawback. that sounds right?
Well, I mean, okay. So here's the thing about this, though. Well, I can see why they costed it as three, right? Because it cannot participate. So that means no tricks. Unlike Kraven, right? Kraven, there's tricks you can do.
So,
like, ours is the Fury, or that's not attacking, it's only defending, but
Fishing
Net, right? You can get around Fishing Net using ours is the Fury, or the Stark plot, or the
Wolves. So you're saying
wolves.
That it's like, worth literally, one more for this to say, participate.
Two more.
Worth one more than the other two combined. To say, to just not have the say, cannot participate as an cannot attack or defend instead of
you're missing one other thing. They also made this loyal. Neither of those other attachments are, so that's another limiter, I would say.
This also totally had to be kept away from Martell, right?
Yeah.
And Night's Watch.
Yeah.
I mean, by making it loyal Stark, right, you're basically saying you have to find a Stark build that this fits in, because, like, mono Stark, it's really hard to build a consistent deck with the main faction Stark. That
my assumption, or my hope, is this is bad, so I'm going to work from that assumption. I mean, like, if it's good, I'm just going to be sad, because I don't ever want to see this sea play. So I'm just going to hope it's bad.
I think it's going to be pretty decent, and I think offers some really awesome capabilities in melee. I like the unique wording here that makes it look very tempting in Joust, and offers some pretty sweet play in melee. So I'm actually expecting to see this here in a couple weeks at our tournament. So we'll see. I don't expect to see Bear Island host.
I hope this isn't good. Yeah, Bear Island host is trash, right? Like, but I hope that Marriage Pact isn't good.
Yeah, like this, it's a no fun card. So, I mean, maybe in melee, but otherwise, why would you want to see this sea play?
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, I think that the three cost, even two with fealty, is really awkward, and I think the situation that Stark is in, where I think Stark is very vulnerable when its board gets whittled down.
Hey,
so then you know your
but you could set it up.
What? You can on your own character. That's true for three gold. Like, and Stark kind of has awkward setups right now, so I think that this is just a great.
That. there we go.
Totally, you want to wait. Totally, like so. Problem I think solved. Right now where Stark is as a main faction, this card is pretty awkward. With Night's Watch still being popular, but I mean, I don't mind this card because I don't know, it targets some decks that I think are frustrating, like Lannister. Right, putting this on Tywin feels good. Like that's like a feel good play. You put this on Tywin, it's a feel good.
Roy puts it on Tywin and rubs one out.
But I think it's awkward right now.
Feels good. It's a feel good play.
Feels good, man. It feels good. But I actually think Will's right. I think this is much more of a melee card. Like, I think someone may come up with a deck that abuses this as the card pool grows, but I think right now it's a little awkward, so I would rate Marriage Pact kind of at, like, a C, and I would rate the army at, like,
there's
a
D. There's no way that army's
minus.
Not an F.
Like, it's still a 4-4 body. It's
dude,
still a 4-4
the
bestow
body, keyword is an F.
With two
I think on a couple of the cards, the bestow's okay. But yeah, I mean, I don't really feel like Stark is missing a body at this price point that bad. The Mormont trait's not enough, like, and for that effect, are you putting well, six or seven into this? I don't think so.
Yeah, all that economy that Stark generates, yeah. All that money.
For that non-loyal bad card.
Yeah, exactly.
It's an F.
So, okay, Stark as a whole, then, how do they come out of this pack?
They're a D-diggity doghouse.
Yeah, D.
Yeah.
How could I not agree with the
yeah.
diggity dog out?
Oh, yeah.
The direwolf.
The diggity dog direwolf.
Stop pretending direwolf.
The D diggity direwolf dog den.
Wow.
Doggy den.
I can't naysay that.
But I do think, but before we move on to Tyrell, I do think Marriage Pact is definitely a card that we could end up eating.
Yeah, but I hope we. But I hope
with.
We don't. Like I'm fine.
I, yeah, I think it gets better to later too.
Yeah, if Nice Watch is out of the meta, it should be at least solid.
They did open things up.
Did we just lose? Oh, I thought we lost.
Wait,
sound.
We never. Wait, we never determined an order. Who?
Tell you what, I'll read after Aaron, and
oh,
then Luke.
Luke has to read Tyrell, because it's his favorite house.
Okay, do you...
No, wait. Yeah. Oh, fuck.
No, what Luke...
I was going to say, it hasn't been my favorite house lately.
Targ is my favorite house. Whatever, fine. Right. So,
no,
you get
Martell?
I get
Martell? You get Martell.
Will definitely gets Lannister, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll read the damn Tyrell cards.
And then no one reads Greyjoy. We just skip it because no one likes him. Forget Greyjoy; they can go away. We'll have to call up Craven, wake him up, and be like, "Craven."
All right, I'll read the damn Tyrell cards.
Go for it, Luke.
All right. Okay, I have Knight of the Reach, which is a non-loyal character. It is 3 cost, and it's non-unique.
Why do you sound so depressed?
Because this card, it has a military and intrigue icon with 3 strength, and the knight trait. Reaction, after you win a challenge in which Knight of the Reach is attacking or defending alone, choose a lady character. That character gains one power. Boring, but fine. And Lord Renly's Ride. This is actually a cool card. One cost non-loyal event. Song trait, action, choose a character until the end of the phase. That character gets plus X strength and gains intimidate. X is the printed strength of the top character in your dead pile. Whew, that's a spicy card. So I find Knight of the Reach kind of niche, but he's efficient with a good trait. So again, he's boring, but fine. Lord Renly's Ride is hilarious and seems like it could be just really fun to play with. Speaking of storming a Starpike, that Lanny Rose that was running this with the Hyper Jamie Cersei seemed like all kinds of funny. Yeah, I like the event a lot more than I like the knight.
Wow, that's weird. I think I might be the reverse. I like the ride as some spot control for Tyrell that also kind of plays into the strength thing. Glad to actually see that as a theme again. FFG only took you two sets. Which...
Well, there's still only one card that benefits from the strength boost.
Well, no, it gives intimidate, so anybody could benefit.
Yes, but like one card does something when his strength is pumped, right?
Not necessarily. I mean, if you have like large strength buffs, like for multiple characters, Houseflora at Night's pretty dope.
Yeah, no, yeah, strength is generally good, but only one person actually triggers off
just keys off of it. Yeah, yeah.
But the knight, though, I love. This is awesome to me. I feel like his ability is, in some ways, slightly better than Renown. It's not going on his body, which you're unlikely to save. You're probably dropping that power on a, you know, duped Marjorie or something like that, so you can consolidate it and keep it through something like a Valor. And it's not going on your house card, with something like Corset Sansa, where it could be stolen. I like that. I think 3 for 3 with two icons is still kind of a sweet spot for me. Yes, it can be hit by First Snow, and it's not quite...
What's a First Snow?
I mean, I've been playing it lately down here. But...
Like I said, I didn't say he was bad. I said he's boring, but
yeah,
fine.
I'm honestly fairly excited. But yeah... Like he just gives them.
Yeah, he would go in my deck. He would go in my whatever that tournament was.
The Tyrell base. Deck, yeah.
No, yeah, he would definitely go in that because hey, there's a lot of freaking ladies, and he would probably go in Sandy's Tyrell Crossing because, like, no, because like he's making intrigues with literally a zero strength character just to get that out of the way for his agenda. A 2-strength entry challenge is obnoxious to defend. Like, do you defend that? Because you have to, even if he's attacking alone, otherwise one of the ladies gets the power, and that seems kind of problematic in a deck that's finishing on turn 3.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, I did not say that this was bad. I just said that it's boring, because it's just, like, more power gain for Tyrell. Woohoo. Yeah.
I think his problem is his cost slot. Like, I think 3... remains somewhat awkward for decks, particularly like I don't know so much about Aaron's Tyrell Wolf, but definitely the crossing deck wants to do a 6-2-2 or go wide with like 2-2-2-2.
But you're thinking just like on that, flops, right? Like any deck that's running the Arbor is like fine with this.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking about flops, right? With these kind of chuds, I think I always so like if it was a 2 for 2,
oh God, he'd be so bonkers. Yeah, I'd be like, yep. Awesome.
and that makes him, I think, a little bit more niche. So I would say he's like a C+, B- card. And Lord Renly's Ride, on the other hand, I think is
the
like a good card. Like,
wait, you think
and that's just
really
from the surprise into a little.
I don't think it's an A, but I think it's good.
I think, or an A-. Like, 1 gold it, for
Mira,
surprise into
words,
date,
words,
and that
words,
may
Mira.
Give you a strength boost.
That's our A card, like, Tywin.
Well, Mirror Reed doesn't exist in second.
In all of our nightmares,
yes.
Well, she doesn't exist in second edition. I still think she's an AA, and this is an AA minus. This is a good event.
Yeah, it's
I,
a very
you're
going to
see
a good
it in a ton
event.
Of Tyrell decks. You're going to see it a ton
not
of Banner
an amazing
decks.
Unreal goes in every Tyrell deck event.
No, I agree. I think that an A or A- card is like Okay. It goes 1x at least in all main house Tyrell decks. I think I think that this is a cool banner card, though. I think that that may push its value up a little bit. I give Tyrell as a faction a solid B.
I think that's reasonable. They got, a pretty efficient card that supports some of their themes, and another one that expands their control options, which I think is something they want more of.
Man, I can't wait for songs to be a thing.
Can you, though?
They're never going to
be a thing. Man, I don't know. I want that Simon Silvertongue, play him, search your deck for 3 songs, and put them in your hand. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I would love...
Lord Renly's Ride is a Silvertongue.
Oh!
Took us a second to get there for that one.
I don't know. I don't like the idea of, like... Because, I feel like if you print something like that... Because, two of the songs... Bear and the Maiden Fair and... what is it? The Rose one?
There's another one in this pack?
Yeah, and they all, are card advantage / filter. And so, I really don't want, something going infinite like that.
I search to search so, for the search that searches my search.
Right.
And then Paris.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
I think Lord Renly's Ride is a solid... Tyrell is a solid B. I like Lord Renly's Ride a lot, too. But I think I only like Lord Renly's Ride a lot with character. I like it almost no matter what. But I only love it when I get 2 challenges out of the character I'm Lord Renly's riding.
Mm-hmm.
And in Tyrell main... In banners, sure, but I don't think banners are as great as they used to be. And in Tyrell main, as far as I can recall, there's only one character that natively gets 2
challenges. Yeah, you're going to be looking at Seal the Hand or something to get anything else.
Yeah.
All right. Who wants to read my least favorite factions cards?
I'll take one for the.
I feel like it has to be Will because I feel like it has to be Will because Roy's going to read Barra and I read already.
I'll take one for the team. Here we go. All right, we've got Night's Watch. First up is Gilly. She is 2 cost intrigue and power icons with 1 strength. She is not loyal. She's has the wild main trait and bestow 3. And then the action, discard 1 gold from Gilly to choose a steward character you control. Until the end of the phase, that character gains stealth.
So, for a 5-for-1, for a 5-for-1, it had to be choose a steward, it couldn't just be choose a character? Really?
Look at there, yeah, we got a whole nother card. Okay, then we've got the Night's Watch event, Guarding the Realm. That is going to be 2 gold, it is loyal, has the marshalling action. Choose a character with printed cost 3 or lower in an opponent's discard pile and put it into play under your control. Then reaction, after you win a challenge, as the defending player, pay 1 gold to return Guarding the Realm from your discard pile to your hand.
Guarding the Realm is a good card. It's
a great card.
It probably needs a little bit more support, but...
Of the people?
Yes, but I think it's really good. It's an event version of Yorin, right?
A repeatable one. So it, built so in. It doesn't be,
yep. I mean, I think when this card was first revealed, Joe from Cincinnati talked about how it's interesting that the most discard decks aren't capable of winning challenges on defense very often. So it's an interesting anti-synergy between the effect and then the how you get it back, which I actually think is actually a pretty good design decision because it makes the discard decks want to play in a different way than they might naturally. So this, I think, Guardian of the Realm is probably one of the most interesting and most powerful cards in the set. Gilly is terrible.
Gilly's
really
2-drop wildling, and if I do experiment eventually with building a wildling deck, I guess I'm going to like playing Gilly with a card we'll talk about a little later, right? Or no, sorry, she was in the Night's Watch box, right?
Last pack.
Dala, yeah, draw card.
Yeah, Dala's a good card. Everyone thinks Dala's a bad card.
Yeah, until the Targ player just eats your whole board.
Yeah.
Well, yes, that is what eats one of them. Wait, can I talk about Guarding the Realm? Because no one cares about Gilly.
Well, can we just say one quick thing about Gilly? I think Gilly is going to be played as a one of in Night's Watch defense decks as a 2-for-1 bicon.
I think it is possible.
I don't think so either.
It is possible.
Yeah, they don't have the space for it.
I think that the
you know they got a box, right?
Yeah, but not with
the Shadow Tower Mason is infinitely better at that cost line.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's the card. Yeah, I don't want to get into every nice watch card that's better, but
and Sam cards. Draws you a card.
Yeah,
but he's only one card.
Guarding the Realm, you don't have to use twice. Right. Like you're running more. You don't ever have to use its reaction. If you get to, that's great. And you're running Castle Black in that deck anyway, so it's not like the worst idea to, you know. It's possible it happens with that because it's a nightmare to get through that stupid card anyway. But like, if you just use it once at the right time, it's more than good enough. Think of how good Yoren is.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like it's not like you're triggering Yoren six times a game. You're triggering him maybe twice if you're like marching him. And this is a better version.
Well, sort of. I mean, I think something you have to look at, if you are discounting the recursion factor of this, then you need to be looking at the kind of tempo and bodies on the table that you're getting. Yoren gives you two bodies. This still only gives you one. Yeah. So to reach Yoren's level, I think you really need to play this twice.
Yoren's not loyal, right?
No, he's loyal. No,
he is.
Oh, Lord. So it's two versus one for those. So this is only one cheaper than yours.
Yeah,
I guess.
Body. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I still think this compares reasonably favorably.
I think it compares well, but there's some trading.
Yeah. I mean, I also think it compares like, the answers are different, right? As a two-cost event, it's harder to answer through a hand's judgment, right? Because two-cost events are difficult to cancel with hand's judgment.
Yeah, no treachery.
Treachery on Yoren is a feels bad moment in your game,
it,
right?
It really is.
And this is harder to cancel, right? And so there's a lot of events. And I really, really appreciate, though, that FFG is making the discard deck consistent, right? Like,
yeah,
the fact that they're creating redundancy.
Really,
Danny deserves credit here because he's escaping a design trap that Eric Lang fell into and Nate French fell into, which is not providing consistency to the themes of...
Wait,
and so I appreciate
Damon
doing that.
Can we pour one out for Damon?
Sure.
Yeah.
Miss you, Damon. I know you're not listening.
Oh yeah, I totally ignored Damon. But yes, Damon. Damon certainly in that situation.
That was cold as ice.
That really was though.
So anyway, but all I'm saying is, guarding the realm. I appreciate it because it's providing consistency for a deck theme that will make it. When I think it hits that critical mass, and it's almost there, and maybe there now, we'll see what deck builders do. But it's great that there's multiple effects that do this, and with Queen's Crown in the box, I think we're almost there.
So you know what's keeping that deck in check, right? The only thing that beat it before consistently was Burn, and that's big in the meta.
So. Yeah, and Burn is now dead versus discard, unlike in first edition. So,
yeah. B minus house.
Yeah, that seems reasonable.
Gosh, I don't know. I'm torn. Yeah, I'm gonna go C plus. But before we leave Night's Watch, I really have to talk about the art for a moment. Yes, I know this is a podcast. The listeners can't see it simultaneously unless they've done some work.
The art will be up in the
there. We
will knife.
There we go. No, I want to mention the art for both of these. Number one on Gilly. I can't believe that art made it through FFG because I was under the impression that they like could not use HBO likenesses, and that is just the HBO Gilly, right? Like that's just obviously her.
Did they have a horse in the
I don't know. Let's look at the face. Let's look at Gilly, not the horse.
I mean,
also that supposed newborn baby
big.
Has a ton of hair.
I actually like.
Noah had a bunch. Noah was born with hair.
I think I like the Gilly piece. I think it invokes Gilly in the third book, right? I think pretty well. It might be a little too gross from the girl from. What's the woman from? What's the show she was originally from? The British show. Who's plays it? But anyway,
I don't recall now.
Guys, can we talk about the bad Baratheon cards before I die?
Wait, I'm going to give my rating real quick. I think Night's Watch gets...
Oh, you did it? My fault.
I think Night's Watch gets a C, because I think Guarding the Realm is good, but I think event slots are tight, and Gilly's horrible. So I think they get a C.
I don't think Night's Watch discard has events that they like besides this.
I'm just thinking about the faction as a whole. I'm thinking about the faction as a whole, and... So, like, the discard deck, yeah, that's like an A-plus card for a discard deck, but...
Yeah, but you're not playing it in defense.
No, you're not, but I'm just saying that, like, Night's Watch has other things other than discard, and I feel like if we're rating it by faction as a whole, the Night's Watch gets a C, because Gilly's unplayable, and Guarding the Realm goes in one deck.
I think you gotta pay attention to what deck it is. Like, if it's a key part of that deck, I think it gets a boost.
Yeah, but as a faction, it just goes in one deck, so the faction as a whole gets a C.
That one deck is one of their only two decks.
And so. I'm fine with that. I'm just saying that, like, it brings it back to average if it's amazing in that one and terrible in the other one.
Aaron, yeah. I have something I want to say.
Is it Melisandre?
Melisandre. Seven.
What did you just say?
Have you ever listened to the audiobooks? The way he said
yes.
Melisandre?
No.
Anyway.
Yes, Roy Detreat's pronunciations.
So, Melisandre. Seven... cost, loyal character, unique, intrigue power, 6 strength, lady, R'hllor trait, surprise, surprise, insight, reaction, after you win dominance, choose an opponent and look at his or her hand. Then choose and discard one card from that hand. If that card is a character, place it in its owner's dead pile. Then Light of the Lord, which is a 2-cost, non-unique attachment, blessing, R'hllor, Bera or R'hllor character only for when they print non-Bera R'hllor characters. Reaction.
There could be some in turn, right?
Not, maybe when we get...
Graveyard?
It would be... what's the guy's name from the fifth book?
I don't remember. I just know there was one in first edition.
Yeah, but anyway. His name is escaping me at the minute. The prophet that saves Tyrion. Bera, R'hllor character only. Reaction. After dominance... After the dominance phase begins. Jesus, I can't speak English. After the dominance phase
begins.
Stand attached character and gain 1 gold. Both of these cards are extremely underwhelming. I fucking hate Melisandre, not because she's a bad card, because I just hate her effect. I hate it so much. Like, I hope this card sees no play, despite its really beautiful art. But
it's also a bad card.
I hate this card. I hate that effect.
She saw
like,
a lot
so
of play
much.
Down here.
Yeah, but then the games were lost.
Well,
right?
Yeah, I was about to say, I played against her a bunch over the past week, and yes, I was definitely playing around her, and I think she definitely impacted my gameplay in that I fought for dominance more, but I won the games.
Yeah. She's like, you know, she could be good if you could play her with the good Melisandre that everything Bera mm-hmm. does is built around, but since you can't...
Right. Speaking of FFG failing to follow through on themes, finding cards that do what Melisandre wants, or the core Melisandre does, FFG has not done a very good job with that. So that makes this Melisandre a whole lot worse.
Is there any other real Neil card besides... Yeah, I guess.
I mean,
there's
one shot.
The one from the line spot. Yeah. Oh, she's only real repeatable. That's sad. And I think that's the problem with Bera. Neil needs to be repeatable. But apparently, everyone's terrified of control in second edition.
Well, also, I can tell you from personal experience, speaking of Stormwind and Starpike, if you see Melisandre, games tend to go pretty well if you're playing Bera. If you don't see Melisandre, a.k.a. my
you
game
you lose
with Aaron,
to me.
Yeah.
When all you need to do is draw Melisandre, and you're digging as hard as you possibly can to draw that fucking card. Anyway, so...
So what happens? So if you're running the other Melisandre and you're digging for that Melisandre, you have a problem.
Yes. And so anyway, this one basically says that right now, this Melisandre is going to stay in people's binders. Again, besides the really beautiful art, like it's. I hope that's on a playmat.
Yeah, it is. It is a pretty card.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll see it on a playmat and it won't see play.
I don't really have much to add. I think that she's like. I if this effect were printed on any other card not named Melisandre, it would be
Robert. Robert.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it would be like super ridiculous if this were printed on anything other than Melisandre, and like that 5-cost one from the core set is just so dang good. It's just so good.
It seems like a bad idea that Baratheon is built around unique characters. But it only has 2 good unique characters.
3.
Stannis is good.
Stannis is okay.
Davos is good.
Yeah, but he's not a centerpiece.
No, you're talking like the 6 and 7bombs.
Yeah, like bombs.
I think one of the problems that
Think about Stark.
Well, Stark has
Stark
has similar problems, but it's much worse in Barra. I think.
Well, compare it to a faction like Targ that has like a billion unique characters that are all just like, yeah, I'll just stick 1x in a deck and just like go to town.
And I definitely agree. Yeah. I think screwing up the Renly from the first cycle for Barra actually really set them behind. Like, like they just don't have that redundancy in the higher cost curve that allows them to keep up with the factions like Lannister, factions like Targaryen, factions like Stark to a lesser extent.
And Barristan is good.
Barristan is good, but he's also awkward, right? Like, he doesn't save himself and Seven, and it's just a weird effect. But he's fine. Like, he's fine. I think missing out on Renly, the fact that the cards that they've gotten in the boxes, like, while the unique ones, like, Edric is an amazing card, but he's not a bomb. I think they're so far behind on the bomb train that it's going to be hard for them to catch up. Like, FFG is good. And, like, the 7-cost Stannis being kind of just awkward. He's great in draft, but he's kind of just like an awkward card to play. Like, and the new Davos. Like, I just think Barra needs to see some like 5-6 cost characters that are unique, that are power, and we don't get that in that set.
Who is there
in the set?
Do they have a 5-cost unique besides Mel?
No, not that I can think of.
So. Just, all right,
well, anyway.
Yeah, that's kind of weird to not feel about that. I feel like we got to be missing one, but I don't know.
Because what? The Renly is 6, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
The Davos is 6 or 4.
Mm-hmm. 4. I really don't. So, I don't think.
I'm going to look into the fire and give the breathing cards.
Yeah, it's a D. These are D cards. Oh, we haven't even talked about the stand.
Well,
is there something to say? It helps you with dominance and gives you a gold.
I mean, it virtually guarantees dominance, I think. But
is there a reason you want either
of those?
Wait, you know what the best use for Light of the Lord is?
Triggering Corset Mel?
What Light of the Lord is? Yep.
Wait.
Yep, it's a R'hllor card. Yeah. The best use for it is having another R'hllor card that you can.
Yep.
the one that doesn't care about dominance.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, if you could build an all-in dominance deck with that Melisandre that plays this card, you could. I think there are better R'hllor cards now, particularly with that 3-cost one in the last set. Even the
if you don't see a dupe for this Mel, you just lose.
Yeah, and the army, or not the army, the weapon is better than this. The 2-cost weapon that gives plus strength.
Lightbringer.
No. The non-unique one, I think, is better than this.
We are talking about the Light of the Lord for weeks.
So anyway, these are D cards.
D cards. Okay. Okay. Who wants to read Lanny?
Obviously, Will, who has yet to read any cards.
No.
Oh, wait, no, you read Night's Watch.
Nominally, this would go back again to you, Aaron. So.
Yeah, Will.
So, am I reading them or not? At this point, I'm legitimately confused.
Yeah, I think you're reading them, yeah.
We're picking based on who likes the house. I think that's the most interesting way
to do that. Fine. Polliver, then, is our first Lannister card. He is 3-cost, military and intrigue icon, 3 strength, not loyal, ally trait, pillage, and reaction. After Polliver discards a character using pillage, return 2 gold from the losing opponent's gold pool to the treasury. Then we have...
He needed ally. Wait, he's an ally with that reaction? Yeah. I've never even looked at this card. Yeah. That's fantastic. Yeah. Like, you know, he would be too good if he could just get rid of 2 gold by his weird transition and terrible cost.
Then we have the Hand Solar. The Hand Solar is a 2-cost Lannister location. It is not loyal. It is unique. It has the King's Landing trait and action. Kneel the Hand Solar to choose a character. Until the end of the phase, that character gains an intrigue icon. Polliver, I think, is not great. Despite me saying I really liked this cost to strength to icon ratio for that Tyrell Knight a little while ago, I don't think Polliver cuts it. I just don't think he provides the value ability to go with that when Lannister is already so crowded. The Hand Solar, I mean, let's be honest, Lannister doesn't need it at all, so is it worthwhile as a banner card?
Yes.
Maybe?
Yes, and if you're trying to abuse...
Not even at all,
the hands. I mean, look, there's some obnoxious things you can do with this card. Again, I'm just going to point out some next, like mountains that win, get an intrigue challenge, or get an icon, excuse me, intrigue icon, win an intrigue challenge, flip, kill a character, return to your hand, and with the hand's tower, the tower of the hand.
Tower of the hand.
Right. So there's a lot of fun plays.
Finish, I can tell you why this is bad.
Why is it bad? I'm finished.
Because a second intrigue challenge is better than an intrigue icon. Returning a card to hand is better than an intrigue icon. Draw is better than an intrigue icon. And you're not running 18 Lannister locations. So given that there's three better ones, you're just, like, I don't, like, in the decks that are doing what this card helps you do, there's three specific better locations. Sorry, Lanny Harrenhal.
Four.
So four specific better Lanny locations. Like, you're not running five do stuff locations. You're just not. That's not how this game works. So you're never, you're gonna go, oh man, I could do really cool stuff with that, and then not play it because there's just better options. Like, there's, I can't imagine, I never play the draw one. I don't remember Lannisport. Which one is which. Lannisport. I never play the draw one, and that's such a good card.
Yep.
Yeah, no, do you play this over that? Probably not.
No.
No, I think that this card, I think you're valuing it in the wrong way. Like, I'm valuing it, like as a card itself is, like, a pretty good card. Repeatable granting of icons is pretty sweet. And
icon.
I think that, like, singular. I think that it is a banner card. But I think it is a banner card, and that's fine. Like,
if what house?
If they want to,
maybe Great
I don't
Point?
Know. I mean, I think that, maybe.
Greyjoy Lion might like this. Yeah.
You, think, you know when Greyjoy wants intrigue icons when they're playing it different.
I think Tyrell Lion wants this.
Stark Lion wants this.
Tyrell Lion does not want this. Tyrell has like one target for this.
That target's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not
like, well, no, because like, Tyrell has Brienne. Okay. Tyrell has Randall. Tyrell has the Knight of Flowers.
For economy reasons.
And the mountain.
You're probably running. Listen, for economy reasons, you're probably running as close to 12 banner cards as possible, right?
Probably.
So, I don't know.
Unless
Jamie, Tyrion, one of the amazing little chuds. Like, no, you're not. You're just. Okay. You're not.
I don't like Oliver's even, great.
And,
I think.
And guess what?
You I think the hand stellar you know, only.
You know what?
Better.
You know what? Other house has locations that are too awesome for you to ever play this. Tyrell has like five locations better than this too.
I understand. Like, I Stark just,
Lion.
I think that it's
Stark Lion.
Sure. Sure.
Yes. I don't think Stark Lion is good. But Stark Lion would.
I'm
desperate for intrigue.
I will deviate from the rest of y'all and say that I think that the Hand Solar is a fine card.
You know where I would play this? I'm being too loud. You know where I would play this? I would play this with Core Eddard. When's the last time you ran a deck with
Core? That would be pretty silly, though, wouldn't it?
That would be fun.
That would be fun.
But let's.
It's also not a bad melee card, let's be clear.
You can give that to any character.
Any character. There we go.
You could help your opponents defend so someone else doesn't win the game.
The second you guys talk about melee, I start checking myself.
And you can make deals. And melee is now a supported format, so Aaron has to pay attention.
There we go.
Quite dope.
Yeah, Pulver's kind of terrible. I also love that he's an ally, too. I'm with Aaron. Like, dissensioning him Erasing him is just really funny.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, okay, I paid 3 gold.
I mean, it's
what you deserve for playing this
He
card,
goes in the,
right?
the Greyjoy Lion Pillage deck.
Yeah, he does. But if you want a critical mass of pillage, again, hey, there's a support for a theme. And
yeah,
that's
there you go.
We should applaud.
There you go.
So, you can deck people.
Except he has anti-synergy with loot, so...
So let's just be honest here.
I'm gonna
Lannister, yeah, comes out of this pack pretty badly. I think it's probably a D.
Man, Stark is winning this pack with all the dogs.
Yeah. So am I stuck?
I think that it is
a D plus
because it's a D plus because I like the Hand Solar more than you two and. Yeah, Polliver's not great. He goes in one deck, and that deck's not great yet. Although I did lose to it the other day. I was testing a new deck, and...
Did you just say you lost to Paladin?
No, I lost to a Pillage deck.
Will, wow. Whoa. I told you, Will. I'm so used to being mad at
you. I literally got decked.
Luke?
Yeah. I posted about it on the AGOT 2.0 group. It was amazing.
Yeah, I'm not in that group.
It was amazing.
So, Luke, this is very important. I have bad news for
yep.
you.
Yep.
You're not allowed to play AGOT 2.0 anymore.
Fine by me.
you got decked. You have to quit now.
All right, I just get to turn into you.
Oh,
yes, exactly.
Okay.
You need to be far more ornery. Let's all right, work.
So I have something important I want to say. So Wex Pike, he's a 2-cost military intrigue, 2-strength, non-loyal, unique character, bastard, House Boatley.
That's what I was all-gotting.
Yeah, best trade in the game.
Bestow 8, ladies and gentlemen. Best keyword in the game. While Wexpike is attacking each...
Best. It's the best O in the game.
While Wexpike is attacking each character with printed X, or printed cost X, cannot be declared as a defender. X is the number of gold on Wexpike. Dominance action. Move 1 gold from your gold pool to Wexpike. Limit twice per phase. And then the second... card is the Greyjoy Economy, the Loyal Economy card. It's an Iron Islands traded, non-unique location, Iron Islands market, 2-cost, limited marshalling action, Neo Iron Islands market to gain 1 gold. 2 gold instead if your opponent has 8 or more cards in his or her discard pile.
Such a weird number.
It's a weird number. It's an arbitrary number. I think both are fine cards. Like, I think Wex will probably go in 1X in most Greyjoy decks. And Iron Islands Market, it really depends. I think this is definitely something we need to play with more to see how consistently, unlike the Targ location, which is really easy to turn on, how easy it is.
I think this is pretty good.
To turn on. So if it's easy to turn on, it's a B+ card. If it's harder to turn on, it falls into sort of a C. So I think this is a pretty solid pack for Greyjoy. Nothing that makes me scream, oh, Greyjoy's the greatest faction ever, but it's fine.
They're the most solid faction that I think we've looked at so far, personally. Mm-hmm.
Roy, you literally just screamed Greyjoy's the greatest faction ever.
Did I?
Yes.
All I'm saying is that there is a horse on a Greyjoy card, and I'm very excited about it.
That's true.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what to do with these cards. I have no idea.
I mean, I think Wex is, like Roy said, you know, 1X of that goes in any Greyjoy deck I can think of. And I like that he scales. I think this is actually a bestow card that could be good. I can choose the price point I need that to be at. Or even if it's not, I think Greyjoy wants, like... this stat line, 2-for-2 with military and entry. They just need that badly.
Yeah, I could see that. And Greyjoy Reigns really likes
him. Yeah, Greyjoy Reigns loves him.
Okay, so Wex is good. Wex is totally fine.
I think the economy location is fine, too.
Doesn't Greyjoy... Like, Greyjoy wins when it goes fast. Like, Greyjoy is not winning grinders as a rule. I mean, besides you, who gets pillaged, until you have no cards.
Do you want to know how it actually happened?
No.
I'm going to tell you anyway. So basically, he had 3 Dragon's Tails and 2 without his beards after first turn marshalling, and then was able to flip Annals of Castle Black and play all of them again. And he had, like, nice. 4 characters with pillage out. Yeah, it was just...
So he just played all the bad cards, and because you're that bad, you lose.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's exactly how it works.
All the bad cards. All
right, anyway, so Iron Islands Market.
Was he playing Iron Islands Market?
Oh, yeah.
I bet you could have triggered.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think it seems reasonable. Like you said, Roy, not nearly as easy as the Targaryen one, but I think it's definitely doable. And Greyjoy is desperate for some additional economy, so I think they're going to be looking at this pretty hard.
I think it's fine. I don't know. I mean, like, I rarely play games that after, you know, plot 3, even plot 2 sometimes, after that turn, that, like, I'm not nearing that 8-card threshold in the discard pile for one reason or another, whether it's pitching to reserve or playing events or... you know, whatever it is, getting marched, getting entry claim, I mean, like, all those different things, like, there are a lot of different things that put cards in discard piles. I'm convinced that this is pretty solid.
So, can I be honest?
Yeah.
I'm never going to play this location.
Because you'll never play Greyjoy.
Yeah, I'm never playing Greyjoy. It's such a boring-ass house. So, I'm gonna give it a C plus because I don't want to think about these cards.
You guys, I think Greyjoy gets a B plus out of this pack.
I'm with you, Luke. Whoa. I think that's very reasonable for Greyjoy in this pack.
Yeah, so B minus on my end. So who's doing Targ? Did we say it was
Aaron or... Luke can do Targ.
One of you guys needs to do Second Sons.
Fair enough.
Oh yeah, that's fair very true. I'll do Second Sons, you can do a dragon.
Okay.
And then I'll do Orphan, and then someone else can have the...
Well, you and I will just split the next two, then.
Yeah, that works. Second Sons is the worst Game of Thrones podcast that you've ever listened to.
Here we are, advertising for other shows again.
Technically, Second Sons is in the White Book family. So.
That's true.
Which is fitting. Because Second Sons is the worst goddamn second edition card in ages. So, they fit the podcast. Thanks, FFP. House Targaryen, non-loyal card. It is a character, costs 3, 6 strength, which sounds like it's going to be awesome, right? Military power, mercenary, bestow 3. Forced interrupt, when the challenge phase ends, sack Second Sons unless you discard 1 gold.
I feel like at one point it was just a 3-for-6 blank text box, and they were like, yeah, and then they listened to Second Sons, and they just realized how much you bitch about FFG all the time, and they were like, you know what, just to stick it to Glazer, we're going to make this thing suck.
I mean, I think it's appropriate that it sucks. It's the worst podcast. By the way, guys, you should totally listen to this F Cards F podcast, except we don't regularly release episodes. So good luck finding us.
Can we at least this is a great thematic representation of the concept of a mercenary? Can we at least concede that much?
Oh, well, it's a high theme card.
Yeah.
On multiple levels. It breaks my heart that my unofficial champ card is terrible. But yeah, it's definitely thematic.
My unofficial champ card is draft only, so it's fine.
We want to read the good Targ card?
Yeah.
We actually just want to talk about now.
A dragon is no slave. It is a 2-cost loyal event. Challenges action. Choose a character without attachments. That character gets -2 strength until the end of the phase. Reaction. After you win a challenge in which you control a participating dragon character or Daenerys Targaryen, pay 1 gold to return a dragon is no slave from your discard pile to your hand.
Hey guys, do you think Dracarys is a good
card? Yes, this is bonkers.
Do you like being able to get a Dracarys off every turn between this and Laws of Punishment? Because
mm-hmm.
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of this is yes. All the yes.
Important thing to say about this card. So first off, when they designed this card, like, Danny must have known that this was going to be a good card. And he should have told the art director, get really good art for this card. Because this card is going to be at least 2 of in every Targ deck until it rotates.
Mm-hmm.
This is a complete failure by FFG's art team. This art is terrible. It's almost as bad as Dragon Fear from first edition. Looking at this card, I just don't want to look at it. Like, it's not on that level. It's so bad though.
At least there's fire coming on this one and not like a green chicken running around. So I single-handedly lost to this card in my top 8 out at Vegas. So this card's bonkers.
So Dark Nodge gets this card, and you just lose the game immediately. That's how that works. you give Dark Nodge this level of challenge control. It's just like, dude, just I give up. I don't know what to do. You're gonna win everything.
Yeah,
just stop.
It's pretty gross, man.
Right. I mean,
also, you know what this card does though? That's actually awesome. Like, this card eats Night's Watch.
I mean, sort of. It helps you push some challenges through.
No. This card says bye-bye, Amon.
Yep. Well, it doesn't have terminal.
Especially on a Blood of the Dragon turn.
Yeah, it's a Blood of the Dragon turn.
Blood of the Dragon.
Night's Watch.
Right? Okay, there you
so
go.
You just, yeah. So turn, once they get set up, you're like, oh, I'm sorry, flip Blood of the Dragon, and then you can Machine Gun.
And then you can Valor away anything at will, and eventually you can eat them.
Yeah. It works. It's a clear answer to Night's Watch. I mean, I think it's a trap, I think, for some people that may think, oh, this is just a card you pair with Dracarys. But no, the spot challenge control, even if you don't kill a character, pushing through that key challenge, pushing through or stopping a defense, stopping an attacking challenge that could really screw you over is just really good.
Well, out of Targ Fealty, you basically keep a gold, and then at the beginning of challenges, kneel faction card, watch them cry.
Yeah, do they have Drac, or they have this? Yeah.
Yeah, it's insane. It's really, really good. I think two is the right number, but I do too,
because one for Fealty is hilarious.
Yeah.
Bless you.
I'm saying 2x. I think 2x for slots is the right number.
I mean, two or three is fine. I'm fine with either one. Like, I'm running two because Targ is really jam packed.
Exactly. Guys, so yeah.
But I could see.
I mean, Targ has some of the best events in the game at the moment.
Oh my god, man!
Two of the best events in the game. Yes.
Waking the Dragon is one of the best events in the game.
And Fire and Blood is really good in a Valor meta.
Yeah.
Yes. Look, it is really good. It is not one of the best events.
Waking the Dragon.
There
is
are
incredible.
At least 10 events better. There are at least 10 events better. It's not one of the best.
It's one of my favorites, I guess. It's the better.
Yeah. Fair. Anyway. But like, it can't be one of the best events in the game if it's not one.
Yeah, I guess that. I guess I understand. Yeah, I've been playing Targ for like 3 months straight, and so, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I saw the deck.
I didn't play a deck that even remotely resembled your version, so it's fine.
It's true, he didn't. so, anyway.
And that's why he lost on the top 8.
That's not why I lost the top 8, but whatever.
So Targ gets an A+.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, if we're averaging this out, I'm just going to go with an A.
It's got the best worst card in the game, and it's got a dragon as no slave. So
yeah, I think it's an A+.
Yeah, I mean it's an A. I mean I'm just going to say A. Like it's because.
Hey, actually, you know what? We should rate this.
S.
S.
E. No.
S for Second Sons.
This should be rated a beard. This should be rated on the Second Son's rating. It's a beard.
All right, okay, so Aaron, you got the Orphan, and I've got the Scorching Deserts.
Yeah. Orphan of the Greenblood is a House Martell non-loyal character. It is 2/2 with a power icon. It is an ally because they really want to censor it to see play. Bestow 3. Action. Discard one gold from Orphan of the Greenblood to return another character you control to its owner's hand. But Scorching.
Scorching Deserts. It's a one-cost location. Non-loyal. Dorne trait. Reaction. After a character with fewer than two challenge icons is declared as a defender, or attacker or defender, kneel and sacrifice Scorching Deserts to remove that character from the challenge.
Is that actually good? I don't think
the Scorching Deserts one. No,
yeah.
No, it's not good.
Yeah,
I think removing
Prince's
the
Pass,
challenge.
Prince's Pass is like infinitely better than this.
I agree, and I think if it was just Neil to do it,
it would be awesome, and it would have to be unique.
It would have to be unique. I agree. I agree. I think it's the sacrifice and the tempo. I think you don't get enough tempo for the sacrifice.
Yeah. And you almost certainly have had other cards beforehand, Nymeria or attachments or
You know what makes this playable? What this should have said? And then draw a card.
I would have played it then.
Yeah? That changes a lot of cards.
It would have to be loyal.
Orphan of the Greenblood is Melisandre-rific.
Orphan looks awesome. She really, I mean, even just dropping one gold on her, I think makes her worthwhile. Mm-hmm.
So can we give it the new rating?
The M rating?
No, the E
rating. Oh, yeah, that's right, the E rating. I forgot we talked about that at the beginning.
What does E do?
Will's been complaining for like 6 years.
There's no E. Okay.
Thank you for adding it. I give this an E+.
Yeah, I give it an E- because Scorching Deserts is kind of... Like, despite the delicious...
Scorching Desserts?
Scorching Desserts, yeah. It's like some creme brulee, yeah.
So can I just, I want to talk a little bit about Orphan of the Green Blood, because I think it's a little, I think it's the most interesting bestow card that isn't, that's been released so far, that isn't like Wex style, where you can move things at your own choice. Like, I think it's an actually
real bestow.
Interesting real bestow card. But there's no cheating of sort of later I can be like, oh, I can move fight. It's just like legitimately there's a lot of decision points with this card. It's like, all right, do I want to put it here? It's vulnerable because it's both an ally and low cost. I think it's a, and, but it could be really powerful in the deck that likes Orphan of the Green Blood. This is a very powerful effect.
Do we have enough common to play stuff?
But it's non-loyal. So you can,
I know. I didn't say in Martell. I just said, do we have enough in the game?
I mean, House Floor at Night, dude.
House Floor at Night.
Can, Tyrell's got a couple. They've got Elena's Informant as well. Mm-hmm.
But the ability to also just do this to get negative attachments off characters. You know, or
I just love being able to reuse Aerial Hotep.
Protect from Valor.
Protect from Valor.
Yeah, protect from Valor.
Even to bounce someone back to your hand once they get a poison token on them.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think Orphan is an easy card to underrate. He's an easy is an easy card to say, oh, this is bad.
I mean, it cards don't have genders.
It's true.
I think Orphan's pretty good.
Yeah,
I agree.
Solid card. I think
and
this
a
actually
power icon, a friggin' power icon.
Okay, you talk me up from an E minus to just.
Okay, that's
I'm
good.
I'm giving this a solid E. It's a solid
I guess it's
E.
A solid, but it's a. It's a car. I think we'll see more of Orphan than the first round of reviews, the card game DB reviews, credited it with. So
yeah. So
all right, there are four of us, and we should each take one neutral.
Who wants to do Black Walder?
I have to get it open in front of me first.
All right, I'll do it. I have it open. All right. So he's a four. He's a unique House Frey character. 3 strength, 4 cost, military intrigue. Bestow 3. During the third challenge you initiate each phase, Black Walder gains renown and gets +2 strength for each gold he has. I think he's okay. I think he'll be good when they spoiled this Walder, right, that is ridiculous with House Frey characters on the third challenge, and I think he'll be great in a deck that's built around him. And I think he's a deck that a lot of particularly crossing decks will look at and say, because he gets the renown no matter what, right? Yeah. You don't have to have a gold on him. They'll say, oh, he's an interesting card, but you're going to end up cutting him for better cards, I think, often. Unless it's a Frey abuse deck. So I think he's like a C-minus card?
Maybe? I think you're wrong.
I mean, I'm willing to be wrong here, but I just think
it's just a good card. Yeah. Every crossing deck in every house runs him at least one of.
And just his cost point with that icon pairing is so good.
And conditional renown, there ain't nothing wrong with it, right?
Like, yeah, I think he's awesome.
Right.
I think he's a more like a
crossing decks. Like, what I think is interesting about this card is most crossing decks don't want to do either of these challenges third, right?
Yeah.
Like successful crossing decks from the Lanny Jumpers deck to the Tyrell crossing.
They want power third,
right?
Right.
And he doesn't have any of those icons, and there's no way really to consistently grant it.
Well, sometimes the Lanny Jumper deck wants to do military last to get put the sword off, but
that's true.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I was traditionally doing military either first or last with that deck because Jamie or Buck,
basically
right.
Oh, the mountain, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I think he's a B.
Yeah, I think he's a B minus. Well, good.
You know, I actually just think I'm going to give him about a C+. I guess I'm willing to see how the Frey stuff in general pans out, and I know several of the guys down here are awfully excited about him, but I honestly think he just goes into a deck pretty dedicated to that. I think even a lot of crossing decks that are not doing that, you're going to wind up spending that slot on something else, partly for the kind of awkward cost, the fact that he's neutral, but partly also for that lack of power icon, as you guys said. So
I think I'm so high on him because I think that he's going to warrant consideration in a lot of stuff.
That's absolutely true.
I mean, I just think I stick him in decks if I have that spot, basically. Right? Like, if I'm like, I need these icons and have that spot, he's a good cost drain for it.
Who wants to read one of my...
Can I do great haul so I can throw a giant bit.
I was going to say, I was probably in the same boat, but yeah, go ahead.
It is a neutral location that is cost 1 Westeros limited. By the way, it's not unique. I don't know why this card isn't unique. The first edition equipment of this was unique.
And required you to sacrifice a location when you play.
And requires you to sack a different location. But despite second edition being...
Was that the street?
Right.
Street of Silk.
Okay.
So despite this being a second edition card in a game that is built around economy, they have decided to make it way the fuck strong. Marshalling action. Neil Greathall to reduce the cost of the next unique character you marshal this phase by 1. Right, to instead if that character's printed cost is 6 or higher. Guys, remember how fun last year's Gen Con meta was with all the big character decks, and then you'd see big characters and they would do shit, and you would go, bleh, I got big characters that I turn sideways. No, I got big characters that I turn sideways. Yeah. Remember how fun that was? You miss it? It's bad.
I mean, maybe. There's a card in this pack that says fuck you to that kind of thinking, though.
Where is it? What is it?
You mean next pack?
The Targ.
Dragon is no slave does not say anything to Great Hall.
The Targ.
Dragon is no slave says play more Great Hall type decks so you can run like 8 cost characters. And
I think Burn is in a better place, and Burn punishes going all in.
You know what? Hey, you know what? Burn likes Great Hall.
Yeah, I mean, most decks do, unless you're playing Night's Watch, right?
Yeah, but I mean, like, I think certain houses like it even more than others. I think probably Lannister and Stark offhand,
and Tyrell
and Targ
and Tyrell.
So everyone but Martell and Night's
Watch. Greyjoy's
Vera also. I think
no, Greyjoy loves this card.
No, Greyjoy.
Greyjoy has to have this card.
Greyjoy loves this card more than anything in the world. Like, 5 cost Eurons is...
4 cost Victarion makes the opponent cry.
Yeah.
That's only a 4 cost...
Well, that's the thing I'm...
4 cost Asha, like, is also pretty good. Like...
what cost Asha?
Makes it super swingy.
A 4 cost
Asha. Oh, okay, yeah, if you're just using it for regular reduction.
Yeah, it works on just regular uniques. That's what's so crazy about it. It still pays for itself.
Yeah, it's...
It doesn't care what house it's in. It doesn't care if it's loyal. It doesn't give a shit. It's just like,
I'd much rather see this be a unique location. Maybe without the limited keyword. Like,
this location.
One per deck or something.
This location also contributed to my loss out in top 8.
it's so swingy.
It's super swingy.
Like, if you see it and your opponent doesn't, it's just like.
Much less.
If you're both running big guy decks, it's like, by the way,
I mean,
much less two.
Like, it's a little bit of a but it's a little slower than King's Roads.
It replaces King's Road in 9 out of 10 decks that were running King's Roads.
Yep.
Yeah.
But why not run
like,
both?
Like, hey, this is also hilarious with Varys.
I wouldn't run both. You know, because I'd much rather have the consistent gold generation from the Rose Band or something.
Long games matter more.
Eh,
unless you're playing pure Rush, right? I think pure Rush may not like this. Because it's a little slower.
Pure Rush,
King's
probably. Pure Rush might just run both. Yeah.
King
doesn't care. It's like, hey, look which really fast acceleration I got.
Yeah, you're probably still running 3 of the Infaction Reducer, 3 of this, 3 King's Roads, and then 3 Pleasure Barges. Like, you're, yeah.
Yeah.
That's when you get the Gold Road.
Yeah, you might get the Gold Road in.
This card is fucking stupid. I was really starting to like the game again and really get into the meta. And this card scares the
Weren't we begging for more economy?
We were.
Yes, but you have to balance it. You can't just be like, hey, let's make awesome economy that's going to...
I mean, here's the thing, though.
Like,
Aaron,
again, I
want to say a thing. So, what I think this card does do is it's kind of an insurance policy if a faction's 2-cost location is terrible. So, like, one of the reasons why Targ is really good...
So then why isn't this 2-cost?
I don't know. Like, there's a lot of problems with this card. There's a lot of problems with this card. We all agree with this. But I'm just sort of talking... I'm not just being negative, 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 negative. I'm, like, trying to talk through this card in its place in the meta, right? So it does provide a balancing force against Targ. And if another faction ends up with an over-the-curve economy location, right? You know, if Lannister's
well, it's
bad,
also a balancing
Stark's
factor
bad,
for resets.
Right? Yeah. And it allows... It's a balancing factor.
And it boosts Barrett.
I think that... I don't know if this is that great in Barrow, because Barrow has...
Oh, no. I meant if people are focusing on playing these big characters, it's more of a swing when they get Melt.
But then Barrow needs to see Melt.
The problem with this card, though, is that it just... It either increases the snowball effect by that a big guy deck can already cause because you just saw it, or you don't see it and you've built this like huge mega curve like at the top end and you can't play cards. And I don't like that. I don't think that that's like what the game needed. I don't really like the idea of like Valor mattering a little bit less in certain matchups depending on what cards get drawn off the top of the deck. Like, I really like the idea of like playing smartly, wiping a board, and then like having to play mid-range guys the rest of the game until you can find that one key piece. I don't like the idea of like, well, I guess he's gonna Valor here soon, so I'll just keep, you know, my three big guys just hanging out, and then as soon as he does, because I'm already ahead, I'm just gonna be able to shit him out again. I don't like that.
You know what you also have to do? Like, the Eerie is a really stupid bad card.
Yeah.
And, like, this card says play more Eerie.
True.
And then that combination, because Valor's in the meta, says all those kill events, like, we start to get deck variety where you didn't have to just run, like, five or six kill events in decks. But because the Eerie and then Valor doesn't do the job that it was doing literally, like, a month ago, and now you have to start running all the kill events again. And, like, it just becomes a vicious cycle that brings the game back to a bad place.
Yeah.
Because either it increases, like, the big guy decks that no one really wants to see back, or it increases variance, which no one really wants because, hey, did you happen to see it? And, like, I don't think either one of those are good decisions.
I mean, here's where you and I definitely agree with this. I think the Nightmare deck, and it's already here, it's the deck that did really well last weekend overall, which is the new Lanny Reigns, right? The non-jumper Lanny Reigns, the sort of, like, Lanny bullshit deck, right? It's the most Lanny bullshit deck yet, right? Because it's running the Eerie. It's running the Eerie, the Great Hall. It's about, look, I will make a J... Like, this is... And now, to be fair to that deck, it has a very high skill cap, right? You can play that deck really poorly, and you will go nowhere, even though it's a fantastic deck. But it is a bullshit deck. You
that
literally
deck just won
back.
A 60-player regional in Europe.
Yeah, it won Storming of Starpike. That final game against Targaryen was very convincing. Patrick played it very well, but it showed just the power of Lannister's economy and the fact that it's one of the few factions, not the only one. Targaryen actually is another faction that has real redundancy in its themes and redundancy in what it needs, what it wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
What comes out next pack for Targaryen?
A location and Grey Worm.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's Astapor.
How much? Yeah. How much does Grey Worm cost?
Six.
Yeah.
How much does Mira?
Seven. Yeah, it's gross. It's gross.
Khal Drogo.
Danny. Well, how much does Danny cost again?
Wait, but you're forgetting the fact that like this makes Varys cost four.
Yeah.
It does.
Yes. I mean, like, hey, Jaqen H'ghar.
Yeah, and Mance. I mean, it's
Mance
Rayder. It's like, so stupid.
All the shit. All the shit we were.
No, she's five.
Khala,
she's five, right?
Yeah. All the shit that was leaving Rattleshirt. All the
Rattleshirt's dumb.
Who's also awesome, just like I said, by the way. But no, someone yelled that I was wrong for like hours. I don't remember.
Rattleshirt's so stupid. He's so good.
Yeah, someone's like, I just think it's gonna be. Maybe it was Will. I just think it's gonna be too awkward. You're wrong.
I don't remember doing that.
I think it was on. I think you're just remembering Facebook conversations, but.
It might have been on Second Sons. Did we just review that pack on Second Sons?
No, we didn't do the box. Did we? I don't remember. Anyway.
Whatever. We did it somewhere, and someone said that. But either way, fuck Great Hall. It's an A+ card.
It's an S card.
S card. It breaks the game in a way that, I talked to Johnny and John about it. Like, we were all getting really into the game again, and then, like, we tested this, and we all went, see you in 6 months.
Yeah, I mean, I want to say...
I understand.
Maybe it'll be good by... Maybe we'll be good by Gen Con next year.
I think this is something I want to return to that I said in the first pack review, which... I don't disagree with this design decision, but I think it's going to... Great Hall is the bad symptom of it, which is... first edition and the first two cycle, or second, excuse me, second edition core set and the first two cycles were balanced around economy, and the creation, the decision to push the bestow keyword required the designers to break the gold economy for it to work, and that decision has some good ramifications. But I think because it sort of frees up space, we no longer have to run all these economy plots and all that kind of stuff. We can run more interesting plots. But there's also, this is the dark side of that decision, and that
if
is
I said that bestow is an F keyword. I think I said that.
I agree, but
can I?
I agree, but the designers didn't design it as an F keyword, Luke. You know what I mean? Like they want something you play.
I just want to reiterate again that like 5 should have just been the top of the gold curve. The closer the game gets to 5 being the top of the gold curve, the happier literally everyone is with the game. But it's cool. We can pretend we like 7 costers for the rest of eternity.
You know what else we can pretend we like?
The Dornishman's
Wife. The Dornishman's Wife.
I actually like
it. I do too. I think it's a cool little card.
Which one of you two wants to... Wait, who hasn't... No,
well, it sounds like that should be Luke.
I think it's a...
Yeah, and then Will gets to read Alex's card in the coldest moment in the show.
I think this is...
Whatever. Alex didn't actually win anything to get this
card. Okay, we'll get there. Yeah.
This is a cool little card. Dornishman's Wife is a one-cost neutral event. It is a song. Action. Choose an opponent. If that player has a higher power total than you, gain 2 gold. If that player has more cards in his or her hand than you, gain 1 power for your faction. If that player controls more characters than you, draw 1 card. A card that is actually better when you're behind? Sure, fine. Like it. Dig. Yep, I'm never
playing it.
No, I'm probably never putting this in a deck, yeah, but I really think it's fun.
I'm never playing it in Joust, well, but I'd play 2 in Melee. Where I can choose an opponent.
Even then, it reads, if the player has a higher power total than you, gain 1 mm-hmm. gold, because you have to pay
right.
for it, and it's, it just it's, and it just
right. As I say, 1 gold and a cantrip, yeah,
and you get a power,
right,
and so
maybe
I can't wait to see somebody win with this. Maybe. I just think it'd be really funny to see somebody win with this. I think it's cool.
When the song deck happens, well, you know when I'd play this, Quarry's Agent.
Oh sure.
There you go.
Right. I think actually in Melee, this is the best place for it, because I think that's where you'll...
I'm going back to sleep.
Okay, God.
It may be the only place.
Well, yeah, I also agree. I mean, like, there might be a specific deck that really is just playing this to gain 1 power, as Luke said, like as a closer. Like, but I think in Melee you'll be able to more consistently get 2 effects, right? Because you want 2 effects, right? That's when this card's worth anything, right? When you get 2 of the things. Either it pays for itself and you gain a gold, or you cantrip and get a power or whatever. You want 2 effects. And I think it's going to be really... You're going to be in such a losing position in Joust if you play this, unless somehow you can get it off in like the first turn or something. I don't know. It's a fun card, as you all say, so I'm going to give
getting it off on the first turn is a bit premature, Roy.
Yes. But, well, I mean, not the draw a card, gain 2 gold, but yes, I know.
As a side note, I love that they made all the songs like sort of the tapestry art. I think that that's a really good call.
I think that's a cool stylistic choice.
Yep. All right, Will, read this card.
All right, and the last...
Brace yourself for Aaron.
The last card in a pack, or in the pack, sorry. Is the Annals of Castle Black. It is 4 gold, 4 initiative, 1 claim, and 7 reserve. It has the legacy trait, and says each player may play events in his or her discard pile as if they were in his or her hand. Forced reaction, after an event is placed in a discard pile, remove it from the game. Card designed by 2014 overall world champion, Alexander Hine.
You know what overall champion means? I didn't actually win a tournament.
Well, not necessarily. Not necessarily. Win Joust or win Melee.
Just in this case. So, but like John, when John's champ card comes out, which was spoiled, right?
Yeah.
When John's champ card comes out, he actually won a tournament, but Alex didn't. So like he was overall and won a tournament. Alex just flamed out in the
car. What about Ryan Jones? Whenever he gets like one of his, how many does he have? Did he like his overall?
Oh jeez, what does he have? 3?
Yeah, does his overall count, or is that his draft championship?
He has an overall, a Melee, and a draft, I believe.
Yeah.
Didn't he win? Yeah.
I think he's won everything but Joust. But of course, Ryan, please don't hate me for not remembering which of. I know he's won Draft, and I know he won a
Speaking of Ryan Jones, BFFs, man. BFFs, Ryan Jones.
Ryan's a brilliant guy.
So it's important to note that, like, even though he didn't win with his overall championship, he's proven he's capable of taking down a major tournament, which Alex has not.
Oof. Okay.
All Alex has proven is that he is capable of remaining neutral in the face of overwhelming disgusting power.
Oh my god.
In the meantime, I have to mute myself. Let's shit talk the card now. Also, in the meantime, that was vague enough that you can leave it, Will. In the meantime, everyone got really excited for this card, and they forgot what you and your opponent can both do it means. And what you and your opponent both can do it means is that Nightmares and Hand's Judgment start flying at your feet in second nuclear.
Yeah.
This is really strong in range when you trigger it at the right time or not trigger it at all.
How much do you want to flip Littlefinger's meddling into this?
And it can be really
strong.
It's
a legacy. This is not a scheme.
Your opponent flips Annals of Castle Black and you flip Littlefinger's meddling. Like, how much do you want that to happen?
I don't think so either.
I'm just saying that would be the most hilarious play.
Like, I thought it was a scheme. In my head, this has been a scheme. Yeah, so I don't know where this is good. Maybe Rush, where you're just like, well, I'm just going to keep replaying Power Claim events.
I think
Rush
is
and Combo, where you're just...
No, I think that I think Scene in Flames and Viper's Eyes might be a thing.
Like, yeah. Yep.
You don't have a lore card, so you just, like, here's a Mel trigger real quick. I think that's one application.
It's a much more corner case card than people think. There are places to use this. I just think that they're so much rarer because, like, hey, if your opponent's playing events, they're playing good events that will fuck you over, and you don't want to get.
And you just cry if you're playing against a Targ player and the game goes long, and you don't want to flip this card.
Yeah, I definitely think this is a Targ. Yeah. This could be a Targ.
No, that's where I don't.
Dude, and that mirror would be so brutal. If you flip this card,
it seems like, and like, you know what's really annoying to Targ? Nightmares, and like, everyone keeps forgetting just how good, and Hand's Judgment. But like, everyone forgets, like, just giving your opponent free access to extra nightmares pisses off every house.
Yeah. So now that we've talked crap about the plot,
because then you're like, I want a Scene in Flames, but Mel's blanked, and now you don't get your Relora Shredder, right? Like, it's just.
Yeah, no, okay, that's good, that's true. So let's talk about some... There are decks, though, that are... I think this is a card that... I think Rush is the only existing archetype that may just play this. It has decent gold, decent reserve, actually.
Nightmares is really annoying to Rush.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm going to get 5 power on... No, I'm
yes,
not.
Yes, I know.
Or treachery to Rush? Oh my god. Giving your opponent free treacheries sounds
not
like the
free,
worst thing
but yes, access to treachery.
Those are the that's the inherent value and the inherent drawback to this card, right? Is that like
Yeah, but aren't champ cards supposed to be good? But then again, isn't Alex supposed to be good? No, in both cases. Oh, so
I wonder if that's gonna get cut.
Alright, so anyway.
Well, I mean he's neutral.
Okay. So anyway, I want to talk about, again, some of the values of this card, just because that's what I'm trying to do in this episode.
That legacy trait, right? Really.
The legacy trait synergy is really important, right?
Like, what? Old
man, ooh, yeah.
Right? No.
No, there is another legacy plot in the game.
There is one.
Blood of the Dragon.
Which one's
Blood
that?
Of Dragon, yeah.
Blood of the Dragon.
So,
oh, yeah, there you go.
A long legacy of men with cool mustaches.
I agree, and I think I want to pop a couple balloons. I've heard of people talking about with this card. It's not really a drawback, right? Removing it from the game because there's not a lot of event recursion right now.
Who cares?
Right? So unless you're running, what's the people were running in Targ for a
Isle
while?
Isle of Ravens,
rebuilding. Yeah. Oh, Isle of Ravens and rebuilding. Right? Isle of Ravens, sure, but there's very limited event recursion right now, so you don't often get multiple uses out of your events that end up in the discard pile. Mm-hmm. The ability to shock things for reserve or for intrigue claim and still be able to get them out of your discard pile is pretty interesting for decks that desperately need that event. And of course,
yeah, but also the second I see my opponent chuck a Drac, I'm like, well, he's going to play the Annals, so I can chuck my event too.
Yes, I know. It becomes much stronger when we get Dark Wings, Dark Words, another champ card that's eventually coming back.
Yep.
The ability to power to
except there's reserves.
No, Dark Wings, Dark Words. Dark Wings,
Dark
Words.
From the game, right?
Oh. Yeah. No, it specifically said something about like
pile.
That. Oh,
you can play things.
No, you couldn't recur them. You couldn't recur them.
Right? Yeah.
Well,
although,
this
doesn't
recur
them. No. Remember, Aaron. There was that one, the Robert that let you play.
I'm looking at
that. Let you play events in your discard pile as if they were in your hand. So this does synergize with Dark Wings.
Yeah, I beat Sandy because of that. Because that card only worked if you didn't have a king, and I had like a mini one cost draw for you, and I was like, oh.
Yeah, so this would synergize with the reprint of Dark Wings. But this will legitimately be good in Dark Wings, like, right? Because,
man, how have we still not gotten a Serpent?
Someday.
Man, you mentioning that that Robert just makes me think I will play the heck out of this plot if See Who Is Stronger is ever reprinted. But I need that first.
That's true.
They're rearming.
Yep.
I feel like that should have been Alex's card, bringing certain bad armies back.
Oh, that's because that's what he played in the melee, right? He played that kind of deck, right?
I didn't remember.
I think he played CSU.
I don't
Stronger.
Remember.
One of the first. When I was first getting into the
you
game.
What
I watched that.
You know what? You know what I remember? He didn't win that. He didn't win that table. Ryan Jones.
No,
did.
Was it Ryan or was it? I thought it was Kid.
Oh no, that was Kid. Yeah. Ryan won the year before.
Anyway,
I think like the thing that we should just like all remember and everybody just like read this card before you play it, because everybody has all of these like amazing ideas that they want to do with this card, but you have to read the each player part. And like more often than not, I feel like this is definitely an early to mid game flip and not a late game flip to try to
absolutely.
Yeah, and so yeah, I mean, you just, so if you're going to experiment with this, like, do it early, do it often, you know, treat it as a, like, secondary use of your key event that you got early, and then just forget about it. Like, I think that that's just the way it works.
So, I'm going to give this a C, but I want the final word on it.
Okay, I will also give it a C, and I want to say the art is good.
Oh, I think I probably have to give it an E. I mean, it's obviously going to be here for Kalios. We just need to find
I like
the right
one. I don't like Alex, so.
I think it's like actually a B minus card. Like, I think that like it's like it's not a bad plot at all. It's just you just have to figure out how it's used, and I'm not sure that I've done enough with it to do that yet, and so I'm going to hedge my bets and say that it's in that B range, but I think the lower end.
So, the final word on this? This is the second worst champ card from a podcast member ever. Thank you, Arrogant Contender.
Oh, man.
I
keep asking
Brett
if he'll help me out with Arrogant Contender spoilers, but nothing so far.
It's not pinch of powder bad, though.
Brett keeps going, what's an Arrogant Contender? Do I know you? Who are you? Get out of my house.
True. And it doesn't... Okay, here's another drawback. It doesn't synergize with duel.
No, we gave the last word. So, move on.
Bad decision there, guys.
Keep ruining things.
Props and slops?
Props.
Are we going to... No final chapter pack?
Oh, Vikings final chapter pack.
Great Hall changes things a lot.
Yeah. And the Targ event.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think this pack overall I'm less excited about than some other ones we've had lately.
I am appropriately well. Not over or under.
No, I think it's a solid pack.
Yeah, I think it's one of those packs that you open for like three cards in it and then you put the rest in your binder and forget that they exist. So.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, I think that might be the right emotion.
There you go. Well, and depending on what you want to do in this meta, you potentially buy two copies of this so that you have the extra Great Halls. But
yeah.
It's true. If this was first edition, they would have given us six of those, like they did the birds.
Perfect. props and slaps. Well, I'll lead with some props, and I'm gonna prop all of the amazing family and friends and folks I know well, and even folks I don't know hardly at all that have been so supportive over the past couple months. It's been quite a ride. Losing Dad and then having the house flood, but I just wanted to say thank you to everyone that's reached out, that's either provided verbal or emotional support, or just hung out, or helped with cleanup efforts, or organized a GoFundMe, or contributed to one, or any sort of aid that I have forgotten to enumerate here. So, just thank you.
I want to prop Will's voice. I speak for the entire Game of Thrones community when I say we missed it.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. I have several props real quick.
Go ahead.
I want to prop the SoCal Thrones meta for kind of adopting me last week while I was in at a work conference in San Diego, and then ended up going to a regional, rolling up with those guys out in Vegas. So specifically, like Ryan Jones, Chris Schoenthal, Johnny Wright, Alejandro Pantoja, John Barber, John Krause, David Moran, y'all were amazing. Oh, Alex Exposito, like, thank you so much for hooking me up with everything, and like, just really, really being good buds. Props to the Vegas meta for hosting a very smooth tournament. It was a pretty dense field, even though it was small, but it was a really well-run tournament. And finally, props to my bro Colt Humbert for helping me test my deck over the past few weeks. I think that's all my props at the moment. And props to the White Book in general for getting back up online.
Hey, can you prop your friend with the awesome name that I forgot?
With what?
Is it Colt?
No, Luke. Your friend with the awesome name.
Oh, Storm, yeah. Storm Humbert. Props to the Humbert family, because the three bros that play Thrones are named Colt, Race, and Storm. How dope is that?
Wow. Oh, Colt is his brother?
They have the same last name.
Huh. Yeah, because when your first name is Storm, I don't listen to your last name.
Yeah, props to all those guys. They're great.
Yeah. So, my turn?
Yeah.
So first thing I want to do is I want to prop everybody that came out to Storming of Starpike, particularly
including
Aaron, and particularly the New York guys who traveled pretty far. It was really great to see George and Andrew and Ed. But it was a really great time. We had 49 players for the first time. We had a tournament in Philadelphia in second edition, major tournament. We were a huge success. Hopefully that bodes well for the regional season, which starts in the Northeast very soon with the Pittsburgh one on June 10th. But more importantly, the following weekend at Dance of Dragons in New York City, which Aaron Glazer will also be present at, and I will be...
You're just going to play Rush again so you can have all your games go two plots?
Dude, I can...
Well, I'm building a stack, so he's playing whatever I decide to bring for him.
I'm also... we're definitely doing karaoke after that, just so everyone knows. And good
karaoke.
Yes,
I know. And I want to...
By the way, slops to you, Roy, for not getting Allah.
Exactly.
Oh, wait, real quick. Props to Power 9 Games in Las Vegas, the store that hosted us. It was a really great space, and if you're out in that direction, you should definitely frequent there. It was a really, really nice place. Yes,
and I bet you they gave Luke exactly 7 pancakes.
I got no pancakes, but I did commentate the stream on the top 4 and final match, so that's fun.
So I have one more prop that I would really like to get in, if that's okay, Aaron. So I would like to prop my cat Lucas, who passed away 2 days ago, I guess, by the time it was recorded yesterday morning, from a mysterious long-term illness. He was an amazing cat. If anyone sees me on social media or has spoken to me in person, knows how important my cats are to me. So he was a very amazing animal and a huge privilege to have in my life. So I wanted to say that in the most public way that I can. So.
Mm-hmm.
We love you, kitty.
Yeah, Aaron got to meet him several times. So.
He slept with me.
It's true. He did. He was feeling better then. But anyway, so yeah, props to Stormine and props to Lucas. So.
Yeah.
All right.
Melancholy.
Well.
Puts us dangerously close to a particular
arena.
A zona, if you will. A zona de peligro.
Will has something.
I was going to agree with that. I mean, that or, you know, prop our upcoming tournament. But this episode will wind up airing the Friday right before it. So, you know, kind of a moot point.
Hey, you should come up for a dance.
Maybe?
Sure. I think, and we'll definitely do another episode before the Indie Regional, so I don't have to get to details about it.
You mean
No, Indy has a regional.
I'm just teasing.
Oh man, I can't. You guys should be so proud of us for not flopping the FFG about that whole Gen Con thing.
Yeah.
It worked out in the end. Are we still recording
this? You know what? I think that definitely closes another chapter
of the White Book. More like a paragraph.
Not everybody.
How long until something breaks technically this time?
Yeah.
All right, we're recording, so we should start.
So we just talked about that. We'll pull that from the other file. It'll be fine. Instead, we're gonna pretend there were no technical difficulties, so the listeners won't even know.
Yes, they will. You're not.
But it won't be an episode of the White Book if you don't let them know about all of the technical difficulties they experience.
We should take bets on who has randomly terrible audio this week.
Yeah,
it's probably you, Aaron.
I was going to guess you, Roy.
Why? I usually have excellent.
I've been shocked that nobody said me.
There's no airplane in the background this week, so you should be fine.
Okay, so let's get rolling with the review. Aaron wanted to jump right into things, so why don't you lay the start cards on us?